For example, God flooded the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus also fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And there was also 40 days in between Jesus' resurrection and ascension. I made all these connections while I was in the fourth grade. In the fourth grade, reading the whole Bible seems like a lot. And it was, because it's a lot to cover. Especially when it's for school. That's just not fun. Anyway, no one likes school. When I found these connections, I found it was amazing, because it's so unlikely to have these connections. I really didn't want to do the math for this, because it's really long to do. So, let's just say it's like 1 in a billion chance to happen. Like, big like that. When preparing this sermon, I accidentally read these two verses, and given my reaction, I was like, are you kidding me? This is what we did in, like, children's church. I seriously gonna have to do something on this? And then, fully 3 hours of sleep under my belt, and still 3 hours of sleep under my belt, I made the connection. They both have something get lost. I know, it was an amazing deduction. But if I can make it for a hard history essay, I can make this a good sermon. Obviously, I'm already messing up. In the story of the shepherd, which I summed up earlier, one of his sheep goes missing. And the prodigal son, the son goes missing in a way. He strays off the right path and does later come back. Wait, the sheep also went off the right path. He strayed away. So, I'm already making even more connections than I thought of. As most people giving a sermon, I'm now going into my past, into the dark, dark years. A freshman year of high school. This is like 2 years ago, but see, it's far away in my mind. That's all that matters. Or I was an idiot. Now, I was an idiot in the sense, not like I was book dumb or anything, but I am bad at making new friends. As something I've always been bad at. I amazingly was blessed with Elise in my life, who has found me good friends. Other than that, I am terrible at making friends. And my friends weren't all bad. I was just an idiot with a few of them. And I wanted to fit in like most kids. And fun fact, until halfway of sophomore year, I was the quiet kid, which meant I was the perfect person to annoy. See how long it takes to get them to talk or snap at you. Oh, that was fun. I stayed quiet for a whole year through one class. Never spoke a word. Very proud of that. But anyway, freshman year, these kids were atheists and probably weren't the best group to hang around just in general. Since I wanted to fit in like most kids, I obviously was an idiot. I strayed away from God and didn't really enjoy going to things like church or youth group. Kind of felt dragged there. I began thinking, I've been doing this for years. Why do I have to keep on going? None of my friends are, and I can't even talk to any of them about it. It's gotten to the point I've heard almost every sermon, because I'm the type of person who likes to sum things up quick and see what the main point is. If the main point is something I've heard before, you've probably lost my interest. I know, like, people put their, like, own little twist on it or put something relating to their past life, but at this point, I feel like I've heard it all before. So, when I got down to it, I got bored of church. I really didn't participate as much. And now, the story is not going to end with me saying, wow, finally a sermon that spoke to me. It still hasn't happened in a little while. Eventually, like a smart person, I gave up on these friends. I only realized when they were doing how much damage they were doing to me when my good friends pointed it out. But they pointed it out a lot earlier, and I was still dumb and just didn't listen to them. But these friends helped me get out of the relationship, and a few of them dragged me back into youth group. It was starting to get fun again to go to youth group, because along freshman year as well, some of my friends moved away, and some of them just stopped coming to youth group, so I didn't really have friends to hang out with either. But But now I did, and I still got kind of bored with the messages, but I had a lot more fun overall. I still kept with the praise team and found out that even though I've been singing these songs for years, I still kind of like them. They're not boring quite yet. It took me a while to even start listening to the lessons again, but soon I found myself listening and looking at Drew's terrible drawings and getting a bit more interested. I mean, there's no way you can make, it's very hard to make a message or a lesson plan that I really haven't heard before, so I just kind of went along with it and was looking more forward to what was different about how this person was doing it. What made it speak to them? Now we have three different stories of someone or something being lost and then coming back. All stories showing how we can follow God's path but eventually get lost along the way. In each story, the person or thing that was lost was given forgiveness. I hope I was given forgiveness. But the shepherd showed his forgiveness by finding the sheep and not abandoning it or just killing it. And the father showed forgiveness by letting his son stay part of the family and welcoming him back with joy, instead of not welcoming him back and giving him a low-serving job or just saying, no, don't come back to the family. We don't want you. And I came back to God and asked him for forgiveness because I was an idiot freshman who just wanted to fit in. Now, remember how earlier I said, I'd like to make connections between anything. Well, here I go. I have a musical that also has a movie, but right now we're doing the musical at the high school, so that's more in my brain right now. I have a movie that also has a musical, but I want to do the movie. And a song. Three more things, just like the three stories. I'm getting good with these connections. First of all, we have Mama Mia. And Mama Mia, one of the three possible dads, was an idiot in several ways. He messed around with another woman while he was engaged and then fell deeply in love for said woman. And then went back to his fiance and called off the engagement. Went back to that said woman who was then with another guy. So, no one was happy. Long story short, he came back to the girl he let slip through his fingers all those years ago and asked for forgiveness and for her to take another chance on him. Secondly, we have Heathers. In this movie, our lead girl is seen starting off on a not-so-good path. Like me, she wanted to feel accepted, and she ended hanging out with the popular girl bullies. Soon, a cute bad boy comes into town to make it all worse. He was insane in a way. And soon she was led even further off from who she was used to be. When writing in her diary, she explains how she never feels right about all the things she's done, even making a remark about her and the bad boy's actions, saying, are we going to prom or hell? In the end, she put a stop and asked forgiveness of someone she hurt the most during her reign with the bullies, and she fixes what she and the boy did. Thirdly, we got the song Pieces by Red, which is what I sang earlier for Offertory. The song starts with someone far from God who's in pieces and doesn't know what to do with their life. They then go out and regain their belief in God and find all those pieces coming back and feeling their old slate, their past, quite clean. So now we have three stories, three examples, and 3 hours of sleep to move on. Now, it's not like any of these things happen on a whim. They take time. You gotta think about your choices before you make them. If you think it's any big choice, you know you're gonna take some time to think about it. So what most people do so they don't make the wrong choice is they think about all the scenarios. They think about all the other things that could happen. What could go wrong? What could go right? How could both happen and everything just go downhill still? But no matter what, they do pick a path in the end. Whether both sides have a good result, or there's just a slim chance for one to have it, or sometimes they just get a calling to a certain scenario. Sometimes that calling is the Holy Spirit. They have faith that their decision will be the right one. Most times it doesn't go as planned either, just ending up, or it's a win-lose situation, it gets better or it just gets worse. Here in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." We all have faith, whether it is God or something we love. Faith in something can change your whole perspective on something. It can make you realize things you've never really thought of. For example, last summer, I let my dear friend Elise take me on the giant water slide. I hate anything of those sorts. I hate roller coasters, hate things I just don't have control of, or things that I don't trust. I did not trust it, because it was one of those big ones that just said big drop, swooped up and swooped back down, and the tube will most likely fly off the like little slide thing at some point. Not fun in my opinion. But I had faith that Elise said it was fun and I wouldn't die, that I wouldn't. I will admit, I did not have fun. I was terrified. I told myself never to do it again. But I was not dead. No matter the outcome of the event, I would still have faith in Elise. I would just never run it again. Because by the time I got halfway up the steps, I was about to do something I did last time my friend tried me to do it. Halfway up the steps, I was just going to run back down, not go up there. Because I also had a small fear of heights, so that long climb was just torture in itself. So halfway up there, I was about to turn around and run back, when my friend Sydney grabbed my hand and made sure I was going nowhere, in which I was dragged to the top and eventually forced on the float. This verse also mentions that those who draw near God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek them. As always, people do things for rewards and some form of gratification. We don't just do things that we think will completely regret. Aside from the fact that it says they have to believe He exists, which is hard for a sciencey person like me, because I think of everything. I overthink things way too often. And this was probably one of the things that pulled me away back in freshman year. But once I started coming back to church and stuff, I started reading a lot of things. Started reading the Bible more often. I started reading history. I started reading some scientific journals about if this stuff could have really happened and how the carbon dating process went with these things and et cetera, et cetera. But it's hard. In the end, I came to the conclusion there was a slightly more probable chance that, yes, God exists. But it's still very hard to believe. There's just some evidence here and there. It's kind of like believing in Bigfoot. You never know. There's pictures of him, but most of them have been debunked. And then all the evidence of them, really someone could have just made like a mold of a giant foot and pressed it in the ground. Can't really trust that. Now, as much as I like scientific stuff, if you try to pull out a lesson that's sciencey and it's like a God in science, I will most likely critique it, nitpick it, and then decide if I really like it or not. Which sometimes is I kind of liked it. Like I said, I came to the chance that it was most likely God was real. In which I decided, instead of staying in between and saying, I don't know, I decided to say, yes, He's real. Which took a lot of consideration. But I had to trust Him. And it's hard to trust. It's putting your whole life on something that you don't have solid proof it exists. It's like someone telling you, oh yeah, that block you're about to step on, it's perfectly safe, but it doesn't look quite safe. So you're not really sure. It's like being blind, and your friends want you to do a trust fall. You don't know where they are, and you just have to trust they're behind you, and they will catch you. Else you're going to hit the floor hard, and it's not going to be happy for anyone there. In the end, these stories connect. Everything comes together. Everyone has a different story, and everyone relates in a different way. But we all have faith. And most of us here have the same faith. So many different people that a connection can be found. And the lost are.